In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have gladness in your heart. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Amen. The Lord be with you. And let Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of thine only begotten Son, so that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading from Luther's large catechism, the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This article very briefly describes the nature, will, and activity, and the work of God the Father. For since the Ten Commandments are declared that we are to have only the one God, someone might ask, what sort of person is God? What does he do? How can one praise or picture or describe him in a way that will really let people know him? This article and the next two give the answer. Thus, the Creed is nothing else than what Christians, when they respond to such questions, will reply and confess on the basis of the First Commandment. If, for example, one were to ask a young child, my boy, what kind of God do you have? What do you know about him? Then he could first say, first, my God is the Father who made heaven and earth. I take nothing and no one else as God except him alone, for there simply is no one else who could have made heaven and earth. However, for someone more advanced and educated, one could greatly expand the explanation of each of the three articles, dividing each one into as many parts as it has words. But for the young pupils, it is enough to point out the essential point in each one. For example, as already stated, that the first article concerns creation. We should stress the phrase, maker of heaven and earth. When you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker, and so forth, what is it that you are saying? What do you mean by those words? Well, the answer, what I mean to say and what I believe is that I am a creation of God. That is, he gave me, that continuously preserves me, and continuously preserves me, preserves for me my body and soul, my life, my bodily members, great and small, all my senses, my reason and intellect, and so on. Also food and drink, clothing, livelihood, wife and child, servants, house and home, and so forth. Besides this, he causes the necessities and the comforts of life to be provided for me by everything in creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, day and night, air, fire, water, the earth, and all that it can produce, birds, fish, animals, grains, and all manner of produce. He also gives whatever other physical and temporal blessings there may be, such as good government, peace, security. Thus, we learn from this article that no one of himself obtained or could obtain or could by himself preserve his life or any of the things that have come that have been mentioned or could still be added, no matter how small and unimportant. All this is included in the word creator. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth out of water? Who brought forth water out of a rock of flint? And who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble himself, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end? And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might, the might of man, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But if thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is to this day. And it shall be, if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. Is my mic working? Okay. This morning's epistle, Romans chapter 12. Then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. So far the epistle lesson. For the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2. This morning's Gospel is the subject of my sermon. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. But Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was now made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth a good wine. And when men have drunk well, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of the substance of by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 533. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said a moment ago, my sermon is based on the gospel. So please be seated. The miracle at Cana, turning water into wine, was for the sign of the times. And the word sign is well used because Christ's miracles were signs for the times in which he lived among people here on earth. To those who were waiting for them for the redemption of Israel, they were moments of truth, events that revealed to them that the promised Messiah had come. Now, turning water into wine is really a miracle of nature. It's done through a variety of processes. But when Jesus changed water into wine instantaneously, it was a sign pointed to something more than God's creating power. It was a sign pointed to God's redeeming power. It says something about the man whose commanding word affected that change. It says that God is present in that man in a very unique way and for a very unique purpose. You see, God does not do tricks. He takes seriously, more seriously than we, the laws of nature which he himself has established. And when they are suspended, or when they are accelerated, the miracle is not just an end in itself, but it's a sign pointing to the one who performed it, that we may see the greater miracle which God has already effected through him. Jesus' miracle at Cana was a sign for the times. It revealed to his disciples that the messianic age had come. Prophets for centuries spoke about the messianic age, and it would be a time for feasting, a time for celebrating. In parable after parable, Jesus compares the coming of the kingdom to heaven to a feast. The miracle of Jesus performed at the wedding at Cana was a sign pointing to the arrival of the Messiah, ushering in the kingdom of God. The miracle at Cana was not simply to appease, if you will, the curious. You see, Jesus had just passed through the great temptations after his baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan. The devil tried to get Jesus to use his power to show the divine sonship and perhaps bypass, if you will, the difficult road that led to the cross. He should use his power to make bread from stones to prove that he was the Son of God. He was to cast himself down from the top of the temple to prove that he was the Son of God. And finally, he should fall down and worship Satan, avoid suffering, humiliation, and death by cooperating with Satan himself. But Jesus had come to the conviction through much prayer, much inner struggle, that the way of salvation for the world was the way of the cross, that would come only after much suffering, after draining the cup that his Father had prepared for him, and it would finally come in the resurrection from the grave. Jesus changed water into wine in a way to draw as little tension as possible, as a sign pointing to his messiahship, a messiahship involving humiliation and the disgraceful death on that cursed cross. Now the servants who drew the water, they knew that Jesus had done the miraculous, but we're not told in the Bible what conclusion they drew. But the significance of the miracle was this: the disciples believed in him. It was a sign for them that the man who had called them away from their homes, from their occupations, was indeed the Messiah. This faith would be put to a test many, many times during their association with Jesus. And it was not until after his death and resurrection that they were able to correctly interpret the events that they had witnessed as his disciples. The signs that point to the messiahship of Jesus are veiled, are incomplete when they are separated from that cross. It is pointless to discuss the miracles of Christ apart from the greatest miracle of all, and that is the powerful love that led him to lay aside his heavenly glory to die on the cross on our behalf, ushering in the new era of God's grace to all who would believe on him. Well, our age, no less than the one to which Christ originally came, needs to see God's love at work, overcoming the powers of darkness until the Lord's second coming. Our age needs faith, no less than it did in the New Testament age. And the miracle at the dawning of the Messianic age should not surprise us, because they were signs that God was acting in a unique way to ransom his fallen creation from the captivity of sin and death itself. Now, our mission today is not to perform miracles. If that was our mission, we would be given the ability to do so. Our mission today is to be a sign, to show that God has acted decisively and victoriously in Jesus Christ to redeem the world, that there is a God who does love them. Our miraculous transformation is not an end in itself, but is a means by which God continues to make known the blessings of his kingdom. So, talk about miracles, that water should be changed into wine. Yeah, that's pretty neat. But that sinners be turned into saints, that is even a greater miracle. So all honor and glory and praise to God, who gives us the revelation of his glorious power in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Since the offering has already been taken, let's sing the first two stanzas We give thee but thine own, is that what it is? Okay. Pray for our communicants, but first, I'm sure we all have a private personal prayer that we would like to extend to the throne of God, so let's just take a moment for that prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me.
After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat, Emmy. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Thank you. all give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy that you would strengthen us through the same faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.